Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
So we're in a series called Fresh Oil, and I want to talk today about an act that you often would see in the Old Testament where someone would be anointed with oil. And, you know, because Psalms talks about oil dripping down the beard of Aaron, I almost got Aaron up in the first service, just dumped a whole bunch of oil over him. He had a beard. It was literally perfect, but I didn't clear it with the custodian, so I decided not to do that. So I have no great opening for you. Sorry. But anyway, I want to talk about the significance of anointing with oil. This was done, again, as a very special act and with a very specific oil. It wasn't just spraying Crisco oil on someone, but it was made of really specific ingredients. And you were really forbidden from making this kind of anointing oil because it was really to be considered holy. So no one was to get the recipe and be like, I'm going to make some of that myself. No, this was way beyond what was just the ingredients of the oil. It was how God was using this act and how God was really attaching it as a symbol of his presence being poured out onto the people being anointed. So this is why it was to be considered holy. And this was done as an act, as a king was being selected for his kingly role, as a priest was starting to minister in the temple. Even we see prophets anointed as well in the Bible. And it kind of acted as a significant marking of them for their ministry. And we're going to get into all of really what this oil symbolizes. But I want to paint a picture for you before we get into that. Because ultimately, this was all pointing to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, if you look at the last part of that, Christ, I used to think that was his last name for probably way too long. And all of a sudden, I found out, what, it wasn't Mary Christ and Joseph Christ and then Jesus Christ? What did it say on his passport, right? But that word Christ that we put there, Jesus was his first name, and Christ, that word means the anointed one. Jesus was ultimately the King of Kings, the true high priest and the true prophet who was the anointed one. So all these symbols were pointing to Jesus coming and being anointed truly with the Spirit. He was really the fulfillment of all of these things that they were pointing to. But it didn't just stop with Jesus, right? Jesus wasn't just the anointed one. Now we have the Spirit of Christ living inside of us. So that is pretty cool. Tell your neighbor, that is pretty cool. Hopefully you had some enthusiasm because that's downplaying it a lot. It's incredible. And 2 Corinthians 1:21, I'm just going to show you how we are now anointed. Now it's God who makes us both stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us. We're marked for him. We're his. And put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know the truth because Christ lives in us. So now as I'm going to go into talking about all of these people anointed in the Old Testament, I don't want you just to say, sweet, oil's dripping down Aaron's beard. Good for him. Right? I want you to say, I'm anointed. All of these things that they were pointing through were fulfilled in Christ, and now the Spirit of Christ is in me. So this is significant for me today. These are real spiritual realities that have made fulfilled and manifest in Christ. And so the first thing that we see oil doing and oil was used for, it was used to make things holy and set things apart. In Exodus 40, you had the tabernacle being made. And it was all in place, just like it was meant to be. They followed all the designs, but now Moses had to do something significant. He needed to anoint it with oil. And it says in Exodus 40, take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Consecrate it and all of its furnishings, and it will be holy. The tabernacle was now moving from just a building to, man, this is a holy place here. Then anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, consecrate the altar, and it will be the most holy. Anoint the basin and its stand and consecrate them. Bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. And dress Aaron in the sacred garments and anoint him and consecrate him so he may serve me as priest. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics and anoint them just as you anointed their father so they may serve me as priest. Their anointing will be a priesthood that will continue through their generations. So this is kept on through the generations that a priest was always anointed and the ones that were set apart and made holy to go into the holy place that was the temple and do ministry before the Lord, make sacrifices before the Lord. The only problem was as time went along, again, these priests and the temple were this holy place, but what happened, I think, was Aaron's sons lost reverence for where they were. And they had very specific instructions as to how to worship, and they were to follow those, and they were, that this job again, they were walking into a holy place, right? They weren't just walking into Walmart and being like, hey, and I think they maybe started treating the temple, maybe not like Walmart, but they started disregarding God's commands when it came to his instructions that he gave them for worship. And then in Leviticus 10, it says, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective ceremonial censers, put fire in them, and placed incense on it, and offered strange, unauthorized, unacceptable fire for the Lord. So they totally threw out the rule book of what God had commanded, and they just kind of willy-nilly did their own thing. An act which he had not commanded them to do. And fire came down from the presence of the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord said, I will be treated as holy by those who approach me. This was kind of a message for everyone, that approach me as holy. And before all the people, I will be honored, right? You're going to come to me with reverence and honor and acknowledging I'm holy. So Aaron therefore said nothing. And I think what happened with these priests is they forgot that they were anointed. They forgot that they were walking into an anointed place. And it says in Leviticus 10, they didn't distinguish between what is holy and what is common. And Leviticus 10, verse 8, actually talks about not drinking before you enter the temple. And it says this, then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons are not to drink wine or other fermented drink whenever you go into the tent of meeting, or you will die. So it's not clear if this was Aaron's sons who were drunk. Some scholars would say, but it's possible. But there's a big point here that I want to make. It says, this is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come so that you can distinguish between the holy and the common, between the unclean and the clean. And so why? You know, I had a friend who is not really a churchgoer ask me the other day, hey, do you get drunk? You know, is that something you do? And I just told him, no, I don't. And he asked me why, and I appreciated him asking me why. And I just said, well, you know, in God's word, it says don't. So that's, I start there. But I think we start to see why here. If I am, and again, all these things are now a reality for me, I'm a priest before God. I'm an anointed priest. I've made a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm not walking on common ground. I'm not just living a common life. I'm set apart to live for God out of, and I want to have reverence for him. So I don't want to be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, and it's that we do more things than just trip when that happens. We make mistakes and we sin. I want to live my whole life with a sober mind saying, God, I want to value your presence. I want to carefully discern what pleases you, what doesn't please you, what is holy, what is common, what is clean and unclean. And I don't want to just do that, you know, to try to make it into heaven. I want to do that because you've set me apart. You've anointed me. I'm anointed. I'm made holy. I'm not a common person on common ground. You're not a common person on common ground if you're a Christian. You're a holy, anointed priest. You're a temple where his spirit dwells. And I think this is where Paul, when he was talking to the church in Corinth, starts talking about the way that they live their lives sexually. And he's pointing this out because he's trying to get them to understand your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? Verse 17, but whoever is united with the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. Whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. We don't want to sin against their body. Why? Well, he goes on to say, don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Wow. The instruments of my body have been anointed. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. Then it says, temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God, you are not your own. If you're a Christian and you didn't know that, this might be a little jarring, but you don't belong to you. It's not your body. It's not your life. It's God's. That's good news, by the way, but it's still something we need to know. And it's something we want to live out, right? I want to live like I'm anointed, live like I'm set apart for God, and live a holy life. Verse 20, you were bought at a price. Wow, what a huge price that it cost for God to anoint us, right? And make these realities come true. Therefore, what do we do? In light of all of these things, we honor God with our bodies. We take our lives, we take our decisions, every part of it, and we say, God, I want to honor you. I want to live in reverence for you. I don't want to be like Aaron's sons, just kind of doing life, whatever. No. You've made me holy. You've set me apart. You've put your spirit inside of me. I want to be sensitive to that. I love what it says in Romans 6. Don't offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as though you've been brought from death to life. Offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. What a privilege that we get to do that, right? God, I'm yours. I'm your instrument of righteousness. I was pretty common, but you anointed me, and now I'm holy, so I want to live set apart. And the next part of anointing is we are not just anointed to live set apart like China, you know, the plates. I was actually really interested in this. Who has China? Do people own plates in China? There was more in the first service. It's a younger service. I don't know if younger people, when they move into their house, they're like, I'm gonna get China. But to me, does anyone in the room have China and you use it? You use your China. Okay, I just think it's not used. I always see it's set apart and it's in a cupboard and it's just there. There's a few people that use their China. That's good. This is fascinating. I'm very sorry. This is in line with my point. We are not set apart like China to not be used. So for those using your China, good on you. We're set apart for a purpose. We're set apart for a specific reason. If you look at Jesus, Isaiah 61, this is the kind of the message to the church that he prophesied and read in front of the church as he was starting his ministry. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because..." There's a reason there. "Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the humble." And it keeps going of what the mission of Jesus is. But again, now that we're anointed with the Spirit of Christ, we are a continuation of this mission. Right? When it says in our foyer, come alive to God, that's the first step. He needs to come. We need to be alive in God, or else we're dead. But when we're alive to God, we come alive to his kingdom. We're continuing the kingdom and the reign of Jesus that he established and started through his Spirit in us. We're a continuation of that. So we're set apart, we're made holy, but not to sit in a cupboard. We're set apart for a purpose. It's continuing the work of Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 10 is such a beautiful verse. You've probably heard it, but it's worth saying again. We are his workmanship. Think about that. Think of all the things that you dislike about you, and then think, no, wait, I'm made by God. Maybe if I dislike some things about me, or the world dislikes some things about me, they're not quite seeing things clearly, right? Because I am crafted and made by God, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You are not saved by good works, right? Let's get this clear. God won't love you more if you do good works, or you'll be more like hey, yeah, you're earning my love kind of thing. It doesn't work like that. But this is an opportunity that we are made by God to join in with these good works. And how many of you can say when you join in with the good works that he's made for you, it's amazing. Like literally, it's amazing. We come alive when we start walking in the purposes of what he made us for. And then it says, which God prepared beforehand. So that's all of us. We have prepared works. Each and every one of us. You're not outside of that picture there. He's prepared works for you. And then it says this, and this is key, I think, that we should walk in them. See, we have a response, right? We have a response that we walk in these works. Let's say that someone would give me a blueprint of my dream house. And I would look at the blueprint and say, this is my dream house. This is amazing. What a great blueprint. And then I go to build my own house and I never look at the blueprint. I'm not even interested in the blueprint. I kind of just do my own thing. It's not going to look like the dream house, right? And so what we need to do as Christians is we want to say, okay, God, I want to walk in these works. I want to keep in step with the Spirit. I want to daily follow you and say, God, what do you have up for me today? Because I want that. I want to come alive to you and come alive to the purpose of what you put me here for. And so we're anointed for a purpose, but we want to walk out that purpose. And if you look at King Saul, the really sad thing was he was the first anointed king of Israel. Such an honor to be the first king of Israel. But he goes off the rails and he chooses really his own way. He continues to walk in disobedience and his kingship is removed. And it says in 1 Samuel 13, you have done a foolish thing. Samuel is speaking to Saul. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. And now it's going to be the line of David that's going to be established. But now your kingdom will not endure. I love that little part here. It's a reminder to me that if I don't follow the purpose of God for my life, my kingdom will not endure. It's not my kingdom that endures, it's his kingdom. And the only work that endures is the work that I do building his kingdom here on earth. I think it's such a good reminder. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. I want us to see this so clearly. The Lord removed kingship from Saul and he sought out David, someone after his heart. If you want God to anoint you and you want him to do great things through you, be after the heart of God. Be after the heart of God. And when your heart beats in line with God's heart, then he can trust you. Then he can anoint you and empower you because you're going to build his kingdom and not your own kingdom. And this is how God found David. It literally says in Acts 13, after he removed him, Saul, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. David wasn't chosen because he was just really talented. He was chosen because God knew if I empower this person, then my kingdom will come. And my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this is the person I'm going to empower. And God will anoint and empower those that are in line with God's heart. And I think sometimes when it comes to God using us, we kind of have a little fatalist point of view, if you know what I mean. We kind of just say, well, I don't know how I'm gifted or talented, so I'm just going to sit here until God hits me with a hammer and I figure it all out and all of a sudden I'm walking in my purpose. Don't do that. That's not what David did. He had a heart that was ready to be used by God and then God used it. I think about David and Goliath. Why did David slay Goliath? And you could say, well, it was appointed. He was the one that was appointed to kill Goliath. Yes, but I also think part of why David killed Goliath is when he walked up in camp, he heard what the giant said against his God. And he was not happy. He was so angry. And so everyone else is in the camp and they're afraid. And David has a fear for the Lord so great that in his heart, he's just so mad. And he knows that God wants that giant gone. And so his heart is in line with God's heart. And it's almost like, God, can I destroy him? And God anoints him to fulfill that task. But I'm serious when I say God finds and anoints those who are in line with his heart. If you look at the follow-up person to Elijah, the great prophet Elijah, like this guy, if you look at his miracle resume, huge. Who's going to follow up this guy, Elisha? And so one day Elijah is told by God, go anoint Elisha. Who's Elisha? He's a random farm boy. Yeah, look, 1 Kings 19, verse 19. So Elijah went from the town there, found Elisha, son of, not Snapchat, Snaphat. I can't speak Hebrew, sorry. And he was plowing 12 yoke of oxen. He is just like, I don't even know what that looks like, but he's busy, he's just doing his farm thing. And Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him as if to mark him like, you're next man up. Like imagine you're literally just in the middle of farming with oxen and the great prophet throws his cloak on you. Like what is going on? It's wild, but God found him. And we'll see why, it's so clear. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come to you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? Elijah kind of knows that there's a sacrifice when it comes to being a prophet of God. And he's been going through it himself, so it's probably influenced by that saying. And then it says, so Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And that he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Do you see Elisha's heart? God, whatever you say, I'm in. I'm the next prophet. All right, barbecue time. Not because farming was bad, but that wasn't his calling. So he had to burn what wasn't his calling. He had to leave that behind. And I think in the life of any believer, you'll probably know if you've been seasoned enough, when God has a calling on your life, sometimes you have to burn some things. You have to burn your plows, you have to burn the oxen, you have to say, okay, I've been anointed and set apart for this purpose, I'm going to say yes to that. I remember coming out of high school, and I just kind of, you know, I was coming alive to God. But I was getting ready to apply to university, and I had a lunch with Pastor Claude. And at that time, he wasn't my father-in-law, so I was nervous, like, oh, the pastor, I'm having a meal with him. And he asked me, like, what do you plan to do after, you know, you're done your discipleship school? And I said, I think I'll go to university, maybe I'll be a teacher, maybe I'll be an accountant. That was in my head. I would have not liked that job. Because this is not how God wired me. Again, this is not about it's bad to be a teacher or an accountant, but it's where God has called you and where he's anointed you. So we need anointed teachers. We need anointed accountants. But God was calling me somewhere else. And he said, I feel like church leadership is on your life. And that's something I never saw in myself. I never really even considered it. So I'm ending my discipleship school. My discipleship school leader says the exact same thing. And what I think is, shoot. Literally, shoot. Because this is what God's calling me to do. And I prayed about it, and I knew immediately if I was going to go any other way, I was not burning my plows. I was keeping my plows out of fear. If I was going to use any kind of excuse like God can't use me, it wasn't valid. It was mainly just a lack of faith that he would empower me to do that. And I had to make that choice. Okay, I'm throwing away my application and I'm going this way because I believe this is how God has empowered me and this is what he's called me to do. And church, I just invite you, burn the plow, burn the oxen. When I think of the story of the rich young ruler, it's one of the saddest stories. Like, You have this rich young ruler, and he comes to Jesus. What do I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus gives him some commands, and he's like, yes, I'm doing those things. And then Jesus really sees in his heart that he's serving money, and money is the plow he needs to burn, right? And he says, sell everything and follow me. And he goes away sad. Like, I want to travel back in time. So, like, if I could, I would travel back in time and say to that man, don't you see what you're doing? Like, dude, money is so useless. This life that you're gonna live, like, don't leave sad, go happy. That's the Savior of the world. Follow him, the plans that he has for you. Like, it's gonna be way better than living the life that you're living right now. I can't travel back in time, but we can learn from this young man. We can learn and say, God, whatever you have for me, maybe you're young and you don't know how he's going to anoint you, you don't know your calling, that's okay. Set your heart to go after God and he'll find you, he'll anoint you, and he'll call you, and then burn your plows, burn everything else and say, this is what I was made for, I'm going to do it. Amen. And we can't have any other excuses, because if God calls us, he'll empower us. Keep in mind, it was David that was anointed to be next king. And as Samuel is coming up and Jesse's sons are lined up, David's not even there. like Jesse didn't even tell David to tag along. Hey, Dave, just want to set your expectations. It's probably not you. But maybe it is. No, he didn't do that. He was out. He's not even there. So Samuel comes. And the first eldest son is a strapping lad. And Samuel says, this is the Lord's anointed. Because Samuel was looking through the way we all look about someone who can make a difference. Who are the people that are going to make a difference in the world? It's the talented, it's the handsome, it's the guys with six packs, and you know, it's all those guys. So Samuel the prophet says, this is the guy. This has to be him, right? Surely the Lord's anointed is before him, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You want to be anointed and make a difference for God? Where is your heart? Is your heart set after Jesus? That's the only thing that matters. It's not talent. It's not anything else. It's, do you have a yes in your heart to respond to the call of God? Because if God calls you and anoints you, he'll empower you. And David was the most powerful king, because later in that passage it says the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him for the rest of his reign. And if that is there, that's end of story. It's just like Pastor Claude spoke to us last week. When Moses was called to release the Israelites from captivity, Moses says, I stutter. So many times we do that. I stutter. Okay, sure, you stutter, but did God call you and empower you to do this? Is his spirit is upon you? If it is, then any other excuse you have is a lack of faith in God to work through you. And God works through these people, again, whose hearts are set after his heart. So that's the most important thing when it comes to being anointed and empowered. Set your heart aside for God and say, God, I want whatever you want with my life. I want to serve you. I want to build your kingdom. I don't care about shining and being glorified. I want you to be glorified in and through me. And bam, let me tell you, I'm not joking. Bam, he's going to empower you. You're going to see God work through you, because this is what happened with Jesus. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. And then this is what continued to happen in Acts 1 verse 8 when they received power to be his witnesses. It's all about that. It's all about being anointed with the Holy Spirit. And the most I'm most effective in ministry when I'm aware, this is not about me at all. It's all about you. Give me fresh oil, God. Anoint me with your Holy Spirit. God, when it comes to being a pastor, I don't even want to do it sometimes, but I think you've called me to do this. and you've anointed me to do this, and you're going to empower me to do this. So God, I don't look at myself. I'm going to look at you, and Holy Spirit, fill me to go beyond me to build your kingdom. And this is where his oil is going to be on your life to work and move. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that tells you anything else. It's all about the anointing of God. And you're anointed through the Spirit inside of you. You're set apart and holy. Don't live your lives willy-nilly like Aaron's sons. Don't get drunk with wine and be careless. Remember, wow, this is a gift. I get to be a carrier, a physical carrier of the presence of God. Think about that. That's amazing. That's awesome. What a privilege. And then remember, I'm not set apart just to be in the china cupboard until I die. No, he made me for a purpose, and he'll anoint me and empower me to fulfill that. So again, if you don't know what that purpose is, it's easy. Set your heart on God. Fall in love with him with everything you've got, and he'll lead you and he'll guide you in that relationship, and all of a sudden you'll realize, oh, this is it. And when he calls you, burn everything else, because there's nothing else that matters. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you're the anointed one. King of kings, our great high priest. And you've made it available that when we give our lives to you, we get the honor and privilege of hosting your very Holy Spirit. Anointed, not with just oil like in the Old Testament, but with the oil of the holy presence of God, who is in us to mark us and set us apart for a purpose that you've placed before our lives. And now we get to rely on you to fulfill that purpose. God, thank you. Thank you for that privilege. Thank you that we get to be used by you. We're broken vessels, we're flawed vessels, but we get to be used by you. And we get this moment to learn from the rich young ruler. We get this moment to say yes to the call of God on your life. God, I pray that we would say yes to that with everything we've got. We thank you so much that your plans are not easy all the time for our life, but they are good and amazing, and there's nothing else we would rather do than to be on this earth to build the kingdom of God in and through our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit. So fill us with your power right now. We admit we can't do it. We can't do it in of our own strength. We don't have earthly talent that's good enough to build your kingdom. We need supernatural help. So empower us right now. Anoint us anew in your Holy Spirit. Rush upon our lives so that we can function within the power of God in and through us, God. And thank you that you use David's that weren't even invited. You use Elisha's, who are just a random farm boy, as their hearts are set aside for you. God, may our hearts be set aside for you and on whatever your will is for our life. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.